We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I mean it. This one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, so I'm going to jump into this first dipper, cultural landmines. And coming up top of the hour, man, unless the phones break again, we're going to have Paul Breyer on from Inspire Advisors, which is perfect because two of the stories that I've got today actually have his company quoted as pushing the effort to get rid of corporate wokeness. Why? Because it crushes brand identity. And it crushes the ability for investors to see a return on their investment in corporate shares. I mean, it's like, know your audience. And I get it. You know, sometimes, you know, like probably I'm trying to pick a brand. I don't know, Starbucks or something. They can probably get away with being, you know, more progressive or whatever. They've kind of birthed themselves out of the whole Seattle mindset and they're trendy. And I get that. But Harley Davidson? I mean, for the love, Bud Light? Anyway, I'm going to tell you about some of this stuff here in a moment, but I will take a couple more text messages real quick before I do that. Dustin from Hillsboro says, is it just me or what has happened with the Democrat candidate selection a mirror of the book Animal Farm? Ooh, I had not thought of that. Dustin, that's like perfect. I mean, I feel a new monologue coming up. That's really good. Scott from Athens talking about Great Britain says, Britain is toast. Just a matter of how toasty. At this point, legal deportations will be nasty. We have our own problem with it that'd be better undone faster or you know, or more like ill. Anyway, I'm not sure what you're trying to say there because you're voice texting or something, but it didn't come through. But the bottom line is, I get it. Yep, Britain's got troubles right now. I love that country. I mean, love that nation. Alif Mathens, Colonel Williams, I realized that we were not on the same FOB in 2004, but we had the same experience. Standing in line to get chow, watching the news, and it was supposedly talking about us and wondering what we had missed. It was disturbing then, disturbing now. God help Great Britain. Thank you, Allie, and thanks again for your service to the troops. I did these text messages because one of them is touching on the dipper, and I'm going to get to it momentarily. Jimmy from Delrose, Tennessee. Jimmy sent me something, and I'm not going to have a chance to read your article, Jimmy, but thanks for texting in. Mike from ARAB says, haven't been on something in over 10 years, hate spending the money. We spend it on the house and just enjoy being home. Oh, vacation. He's hadn't been on vacation in 10 years. Okay. I got you, Mike. Now, listen, I kind of worked my way through those to get to this one. Dave from Madison. This goes straight to my first dipper. It says Delta Airlines DEI officer says the phrase, you ready for this? Ladies and gentlemen, is offensive. You heard it. So, quote, we're beginning to take a hard look at things like our gatehouse announcements, you know, where we welcome ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I retweeted that whole article earlier today. Dave, great catch. Thank you very much. Reminded me I forgot to bring that article into my dipper prep, but I saw it just before lunch and I retweeted it out. It's absolutely asinine. So Delta Airlines, the same organization that stood in the way or tried to stand in the way of voter ID in Georgia, and has made all kinds of woke statements, has a DEI officer who has, I guess, been given the authority to make sure that Delta, when it welcomes people to its gates now, does not say ladies and gentlemen because that is not inclusive enough. Well, when that's all there are, I mean, you can say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, but what they're really saying is, there's so many genders that we don't want to forget one, so we're just going to not say it. What are they going to say? People. But then what happens to the furries? I don't know. This kind of stuff right here does nothing for brand identity. It does nothing for corporate bottom lines. Now, I will say this. There's a pushback. As these cultural landmines are out there, and for some reason, corporate boardrooms keep, you know, self-inflicting wounds upon themselves as they walk through clearly marked landmine areas, you got companies like Camping World that are pushing back. I don't know if you've seen this or not. Love this story. Camping World. story on Fox News, Dateline today. In San Joaquin County, California supervisor praises the RV retailer Camping World after its Old Glory drama. So California's San Joaquin County has got some fans and some not fans of the giant American flag that Camping World is known for. If you've ever seen a Camping World, you know, retail site, they fly a giant American flag. It's a very pro-America business. And they have been told in California to take it down. Take it down. They said it was a hazard because it was too close to the road. What if something happened? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You know what it really is? If it was any other, if it was a gay pride flag, they wouldn't say boo. Nada. But the owner, they first were ordered to take it down, and apparently the local manager was just unsure of himself, took it down and reached out to corporate asking what he should do, and corporate ordered him to put it back up. Yeah. So the bottom line is, at Camping World, they ain't playing. That flag stays in place. And they are not going to go down the road of being told they have to either kowtow or just be woke themselves. And I love that. In fact, what's really neat is the Camping World CEO, Marcus Lemons, he actually had the flag raised on Monday, the days before any permitting process was even complete. He just went ahead and said, put that flag back up. He's actually a first-generation American, immigrated to the U.S. himself from Lebanon. And he's a staunch defender of the flag, has been involved in all kinds of other standoffs around the country. He does not play. And I'm glad. And that kind of thing endears him and his company to America in general, I believe. Now, there's these cultural landmines, though. What are they doing to our brands? What are they doing to things that we love? Like, for instance, I've got an article here from Fox Business. It talks about a new book by Charlie Gasparino. You may have seen him. He does Fox Business, commentating about, you know, economic issues and investing shares. And he's talking about things that have gone on that are just so obvious in his new book. His new book's called Go Woke, Go Broke, the inside story of the radicalization of corporate America. Talks about how activists are pulling companies away from their original purposes and into ideological agendas. All right, so you've got a situation here where he points out there was a story about at Goldman Sachs. Someone suggested that they needed to pull Chick-fil-A out of their investment portfolios. Why? Well, because, you know, they got views on same-sex marriage. And there was even a question about whether they should eat Chick-fil-A in the boardroom. And it just, you look at it and go, have you gotten that far down the road? But then you have the lessons learned, like Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light. And the lady who did that, what was her name? Alyssa Heinerscheid. The first woman to manage the marketing of the nation's most popular beer. Also the last woman to manage the marketing of the nation's most popular beer, because it's not the nation's most popular beer anymore. She was put on involuntary leave when she decided that having a transgender activist be the spokesperson for their brand, what would she say it was going to be? It would make it less fratty and more inclusive. Those were her words. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? You're now like third in line. You were the number one beer in America. Billions of dollars in beer. How many things started with, here, hold my beer, and it was a Bud Light? Not anymore. All right. Sometimes things get forced on a corporation. And I know that. And then they have to be bolstered and encouraged to take a stand. Story came out of Daily Signal 2 days ago. This is amazing. So think about this. You're going to the store, and you're right here in Red State, Alabama, and suddenly you look down and realize that on the shelf in the Costco or the Walmart or the Kroger or the Albertsons Foods or whatever store you're used to, you see Mifepristone. There it is. Mifepristone, the abortion pill. Why would that be there? Well, it might not be in Alabama because of the law, but in some states, Walmart, Costco, Kroger, and all are being compelled to put it on their shelves. And they're having to make a decision. Do we resist or do we not? It's sort of a much hairier version of the take down your flag camping world. It says here in this particular article in Daily Signal that what happened was in New York City, their comptroller, who controls all of their retirement pension plans for the city of New York City, wrote a letter to these major retailers, Costco, Walmart, Kroger, Albertsons, and McKesson, and wrote them a letter and said that if they did not start selling Mifepristone, that he was going to dump all $1.3 billion in shares out of the portfolios that were carried by the city of New York City's retirement plans. That is corporate extortion. Well, coming up right behind it, though, was a group of 38 financial managers who all came and just hit right back. And they said, don't do it. Don't do it. Stand your ground. We've got your back. We manage over $100 billion in assets. One of those companies was Inspire Investing, the same company that Inspire Solutions is a part of that you're going to hear in a little while from Paul Breyer. Inspire Solutions, Guidestone, Morgan Stanley, Truist, Bauer Research, Transform, and a bunch of others all got together and said, don't do it. Maximizing shareholder value, they wrote, requires Costco to avoid politicizing its services and to continue to do what it's always done best, is provide excellent groceries and retail goods to families. The guy named Robert Netsley, who's the CEO of Inspire, he said, there is simply no question that Costco's decision to sell abortion drugs would automatically risk its brand reputation. Entering the abortion drug marketplace is an inescapably political decision. This would be like Bud Light, Disney, and Target. All three have taken affirmative stances on controversial issues, and they have yet to recover from the backlash. So here's the thing. These cultural landmines exist, all right? This is just back to me wrapping this piece up here. These cultural landmines exist. Do not forget the fact that when someone says they are about certain products and services, that unless they've decided to go down that road openly, that by tainting their brand with cultural landmines, all they do is diminish the value of their goods and services. You have no reason, Delta Airlines, to do what you just did about saying, ladies and gentlemen. You have no reason, you know, Bud Light, to do what you did regarding Dylan Mulvaney. You have no reason, Goldman Sachs, to decide you can't eat Chick-fil-A in the boardroom. And you have no reason, New York City, to try and force a corporation to carry something that is otherwise controversial just because you say so. These cultural landmines exist, though, and they absolutely affect the bottom line. When we get back from this break, we're going to go down the road that I never thought I'd have to go down. I thought if there was ever a product that would not go bad, it would be this one. And then if you remember what happened with Bud Light, you got to go, well, maybe they can all go. And when I tell you about the next one, it's going to curl your hair. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, these cultural landmines we're talking about, where corporate America just goes completely bonkers woke, like out there, like Delta Airlines saying, we can no longer say ladies and gentlemen because it's not inclusive enough. That's all there is. Well, they don't believe that, apparently. Well, it affects brand identity. It affects, you know, basically corporate legacy, and it certainly affects bottom line. Here's the other thing that's happening. Part of what's happening is they've lost their way on the order of things. What do I mean by that? They've lost their way on the order of things by assuming that they, as corporate America, are the ones who are best suited to set public policy. And that is not their role. Now, it is not uncommon for a business to lobby government to affect public policy, but corporations are not supposed to be setting public policy in and of themselves. Do you remember back in 2015, I think it was, back when we used to actually question the idea of transgender bathrooms, remember that? In 2015, Target came out and told everybody that it was going to start letting anyone use any restroom and no questions asked. And there was an outcry. They were doing that not by going through the legislative process and trying to get state legislatures to allow things under state law. They were deciding to set public policy as a corporation, and that is not their role. But you see things happening. It's not always corporations. Now, I'm focusing mostly on corporations, but I got to point out that Duke Medical Center, which has a great reputation, and oh, by the way, lots of corporations want to do business with Duke until they find out things like this one. Story on July 11th. Teaching critical race theory at Duke Medical School, approved medical slide decks that are being used to train students and faculty are designed to, quote, catalyze anti-racist practice through education by teaching things like white supremacy is the cultural identity that white people and the ideas, thoughts, beliefs, and actions of white people are superior to people of color. Well, that's white supremacy, certainly. But then they're saying that, and you can identify it by seeing things like people who arrive at work on time and well-dressed. Those are aspects of white supremacy culture. I guess they're saying that black people don't know how to arrive on time. What an insult. But if you think your corporations are going to want to do business with Duke, think again. But y'all, look, I go back to the idea of your corporate branding. Know your audience. And recognize that you, as a corporation, your job is not to set public policy. And could somebody please talk to Harley Davidson? The brand that I never thought I would ever see go down this road. Like, right up there with Bud Light. If you had to pick a few safe American brands, you're like, that'll never happen. To me, it was going to be the rough and tumble kind of crusty image of Harley Davidson and the free spirit and the idea of the, you know, rolling across the great American plains on a two-wheeler and, you know, just riding. And you know, how many times have you seen the stereotypical images of the biker gangs? And, you know, there's nothing about them that's soft or diverse or equitable. But there is now at Harley Davidson, and it's not going well. Harley Davidson, New York Post, a few weeks ago, Harley Davidson became the latest major brand to face backlash over its DEI initiatives. It's not a little bit, by the way. It's not like a little bit. Like, they've done things like they're a platinum founding member of the LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce in Wisconsin, okay, and they openly oppose banning transgender sex changes for children. Really? Yes. And then you got to look at, they do things like at a recent event, they sponsored an LGBTQ event that had a, quote, rage room and also had a story time for children with drag queens. They also said that the company, Harley Davidson, celebrated in its legal department by taking a woke 21-day racial equity and literacy challenge to read books like The 1619 Project and works of Ibram X. Kendi. This is not going well with the consumer. Story on Fox News. Biker backlash at Sturgis, the biker rally that is just legendary and Harley used to be the dominant factor. Nobody wanted to hang out at the Harley booth. Harleys are selling for less than they used to. And what we're seeing right now is this culture of wokeness, these cultural landmines, are actually affecting the corporate culture to the point that shareholders are pushing back. Coming up next, Paul Breyer, Inspire Solutions. We'll talk to him about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this beautiful hot Friday. And we've spent some time now in Dipper number one talking about cultural landmines. And this, you know, listen, having served in a war zone, you know, when a minefield is marked, it's almost like there is some form of contributory negligence on the part of the person who ignores the sign and walks into it anyway. Well, we're watching that constantly in corporate America these days, as one after the other, Harley Davidson, Bud Light, and they make decisions. You look at it and go, you have lost your way, and you wandered into a cultural landmine. Somebody who knows this whole situation better than me, who makes a living just dealing with this very issue, is Paul Breyer. And we had Paul coming on the other day to talk about the upheaval in the market, and then lo and behold, our phone system went down. But I thought when I put this segment together, I thought, oh, here's a redo. So this is perfect. So this wound up being better because his company has actually been contributing to the pushback on this. Paul Breyer, by the way, is with degrees from Auburn University and Florida Institute of Technology. He's actually a qualified aerospace engineer, but he is also a independent financial advisor with Inspire Advisors. On the line right now. Paul Breyer, how you doing?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good, man. We got it to work this time. Whoop, whoop.
Excellent. Yeah, you ready to go woke?
No. But I tell you what, though, I watch the world we're in, and when I see things like Harley Davidson losing their way, I think, what in the world is going on right now?
I don't understand it either. It's really impossible to understand why they do it, because when you think of it from just a basic stewardship of your corporation and shareholder value, trying to maximize shareholder value, why are you doing it? It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And the thing that I've enjoyed, though, is that while we are seeing some corporations, like most recently there was a major deal with Camping World refusing to take down its flag, we are seeing some corporations pushing back against wokeness. But what's interesting, too, is to watch shareholders finally push back against the boardroom. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of aspects to that. You know, one is shareholders that own stocks directly. Yes, you can absolutely exercise your voting power, and you should do that. You know, you get those voting your share mailers in the mail, and, you know, if you're like me, you kind of look at them and go, I don't know who to vote for. But, you know, maybe it's time to look at it a little more closely, you know, see who they're trying to put on the board, you know, dig into their backgrounds a little bit more and exercise some due diligence there. Another way is to use or leverage companies that you invest with and ask them, you know, on your behalf to lobby for less wokeism in corporate America. They absolutely have power to do that. One of the things that Inspire Advisors or Inspire Investing is do directly is engaging some of these proxy services.
Yeah.
Like Institutional Shareholder Services and Glass Lewis. You may not have heard the names before. I didn't know who they were a few months ago. But they really have a monopoly about over 98% of all shares owned by investors. And they vote those for you. And they're not voting them probably the way you want to.
Yeah.
So if we leave it up to them, you're going to get what you get.
Well, I saw most recently that, and I quoted earlier in the show, your company actually pushed back against the city of New York City's comptroller, which was trying to force the use of the abortion pill or sale of the abortion pill in companies like Costco and Walmart and others. One of 38 companies that banded together. So there are some conservative investing companies out there that are taking a stand on behalf of their portfolio management. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. And you don't hear about them. You hear about all the bad actors. But, you know, there are plenty of companies that are conservative in their approach, more than you think. And they are pushing back. You know, you can ignore it for a while and go, oh, this is going to go away on its own. But it's just gotten out of control. So it's time to fight back.
So how does an individual who just has their own portfolio, maybe they're not part of a massive plan, they can't control how it's invested, like, you know, a state retirement plan or something like that. If they have their own portfolio, how do they even gut check this stuff and make sure they're not toting around investments in something that doesn't stand for what they believe in?
Yeah, great question. One of the ways is find out what you're invested in. Put your dollars where your heart is. You know, something that we're fond of and we work with every day is biblically responsible investing. So what is that? You know, that's aligning your investments with biblical principles. You know, so we don't support abortion. We don't support LGBT activism, human trafficking. The list goes on. So you can absolutely take a look at your portfolio. I'll give you a website to do that, actually. It's inspireinsight.com. Take a look, put in your favorite ticker or mutual fund. It'll bring up a list of everything that mutual fund or stock is invested in that might be detrimental and not aligned with your values. They'll even give you links to where they found it. So it's attributable. You can find actual information about where they found what they're doing.
No, that's cool.
So that's number one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Number one, what else?
You're a consumer too, right? So sometimes you might want to do boycotts of products like your favorite light beer.
Like Bud Light. <For example. laughs> I'll just go ahead and say it for you, Bud Light.
Or, another way, if you don't do outright boycotts, is to encourage companies that sell multiple products to sell more of what you want them to sell and not encourage them to sell other things. There's companies that sell anything from abortion drugs to baby shampoo. Which one? I think I'm going to buy the baby shampoo.
Well, I look at this and I can't help but wonder. I mean, so we've been in what I would consider almost to be like a decade of corporate activism, and it's really exacerbated in the last, well, under the Biden administration, in my opinion, it's gotten rampant because they felt so empowered. And we're really even being pushed for DEI and all of it. But let me ask you this. Are you seeing a trend still towards wokeness, or are you seeing a trend away from it now? Has there been enough of a pushback to begin changing the bell curve?
I think it's turning, Phil. I really do. I see it happening. When you look at corporations and they stood up all these different DEI departments, I call it the latest HR fashion drug, you know, when they start up that DEI program.
Right.
You know, it's not working. They figured this out now, and they're starting to dismantle them. They're spending millions on these departments that really don't add any shareholder value. And it's not a competitive advantage for hiring or anything else.
Well, I look at it and think that surely to goodness, sooner or later, there's going to be a lawsuit. I mean, right, you're allowed to have, shareholders are allowed to file suit in some form of a derivative action against their actual, you know, loss of share value. Because there's decisions being made that are not in the best interest of the company. And there's got to be a trend towards that coming right now. I can't imagine that some of these like Harley Davidson and others are going to be able to stay engaged in the woke path they've been on and not face true litigation on behalf of, you know, massive numbers of shareholders.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is some legal recourse that's going to happen. But I also think that we as Christians have to, you know, engage them compassionately and talk to them about it. You know, get into the boardroom, start engaging with folks about, okay, do you really know what's going on in your company? And sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's a large company, they may be very surprised to see what's going on.
No, it's a great point. Well, I guess the thing I heard from you the most, though, is consumer engagement. Consumer/shareholder engagement is okay. I mean, you can actually, and I would say even at the grassroots level, you can walk into your favorite grocery store and ask for the manager and ask them to please carry more of a product. You could do it even at the local level, I would imagine.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. Yeah, your dollars speak loudly and clearly.
Well, Paul, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for your patience on the phones the other day and for making time for us again today. It was actually even a better fit today, I think, than it was before. So thanks very much.
You are most welcome. Thank you, Phil.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, well, listen, here's the bottom line, y'all. These cultural landmines, if you are a consumer, and Paul has mentioned it, if you are a consumer, you obviously have the power of the purse. And you may think, well, I'm just one. Look what happened to Bud Light. That was one, plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, plus one, and it kept on going to the point that it cascaded. You may be the shareholder, and you get the thing in the mail that says, agree, or if you don't answer, then you will have agreed to give your proxy vote over. You can choose not to do that. In fact, you may find out there's an effort by a conservative, or this has happened, a conservative organization to gather up proxies to go and fight the issue. In fact, I didn't even get to it with Paul because we ran out of time, but there's an actual article put out by his company, Inspire, that says that there was a multi-pronged engagement action to go after proxy voting and to obtain the necessary signatures to help influence the votes. And that needs to happen. And then the other thing is, take it right down to the grassroots. Don't think that you're just one cog in a huge wheel. If you go to your local Walmart or Costco or wherever else and you see something that bothers you or something that is missing, tell the manager, there's a product I wish you'd put on the list. How do I report that? And they'll probably tell you, oh, we have a consumer hotline for that. And I listen, you may think it doesn't matter. You start a Facebook trend, an X trend, and you start telling people, I've told my manager this, And he says that they listen as long as they get X number of responses. I say, go for it, man. You would be amazed. I mean, if consumer shareholder experience means nothing, then we're lost. But I think it means a lot. And it's worth it because these cultural landmines are destroying great brands like Harley Davidson. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. We're going to switch dippers here on Friday afternoon. We're going to start talking about our brethren and sistren overseas right across the pond, Great Britain, what is happening as they are crushing Britain.